What's the most exciting and most watched sport in the United States? If you said anything else but football, you lose. Welcome to the Air Raid Attack Podcast. Nothing's more exciting than college or pro football. And when we say football, we don't mean soccer. Oh, no. We'll hang, we'll give you in-depth analysis, and you know what? Football and life have a lot in common. So you'll hear us tackle life topics sometimes, too.
Right!
So let's do it. This is the Air Raid Attack Podcast.
And here we go, here we go!
And this is your host, Air Raid Mike.
Yours truly, Aaron Mike here. About lost connection for a second, but we are back for episode number 2 of the Wednesday night doubleheader. Matt Blackwell of the Crimson Captain joined in, and then finishing the nightcap is a good dude. I'm looking forward to hearing about his journey from Marist to UT Chattanooga, and now as he heads into the NFL process of the pro days and the NFL draft here in a few weeks, the All-American safety from the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, Mr. Clay Fields. Clay, first of all, thank you for taking time out of your extremely busy schedule and hopping on the podcast, talking some ball, and hearing your story about your journey so far as you head into the National Football League.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you having me here on the show.
Hey, it's my honor, and I always tell people, and I got a buddy of mine, D'Artagnan Tinsley from the University of Cincinnati, is, hey, if I can help in any way possible getting the name out there, you know, I'm all for it, because at the end of the day, you know, we're all humans, and we all try to help each other grow and succeed, and anything I can do to get your name out there, dude, in all good ways, I definitely will. And, you know, start things off is, you know, tell the listeners a little about yourself and who you are, and as we get this show rolling.
Little thing about myself. Name's Clay Fields from Somerset, New Jersey. Before coming down to Chad, I originally came from Marist College, which is up in Poughkeepsie, New York. Little fun fact about me. If it actually wasn't for football, I would have went to the culinary school.
Interesting.
Culinary Institute, which is actually right down the street from Marist, so it kind of just worked out. I still, at the end of the day, I was right next to it, so yeah.
With that being said, what are your favorite foods that you like to cook?
I actually like to make variety of food. Nice. First, chicken parm is a big thing for me. A thing up north we have, I don't know if you ever heard of it, it's called Rasta Pasta, basically like a Cajun Alfredo type of thing. Then, you know, after that, it's kind of like the basics, burgers, and just the stuff like that, honestly. Just different mixtures and combinations of foods.
That's what's up. Now, because that's interesting. That's a very fun fact. And that's one thing I like is, you know, there's more to life and to a human being than just football. And I like that. That's pretty cool. Now, me, on the other hand, you know, if I can grill, that's cool. Now, everything else, you know, I wouldn't say it's bad, but I definitely is not Gordon Ramsay type or anything like that. So,
that's actually another thing my father, kind of like taught me how to do, because he told me the importance of being able to hop on that grill and really, you know, cook it up every once in a while, and especially in the summers, that's like a lot of times that's all we use. We don't even come in the kitchen a lot.
Same here, especially during summertime, especially here in Oklahoma, where it's too hot to run the oven, so you might as well go outside and grill and save some of the food and store it for the week and get the meal prep going. But Hey, let's get to your journey. And you mentioned Marist. Talk about your time, in Marist, receiving your communication degree at Marist, and starting from there as we head to UT Chattanooga.
So I came to Marist. I was at Marist the first 5 years. I actually graduated with a marketing degree. And nice. It's actually a funny story with the communications degree. In fact, so towards the end of my career there, I was, finishing my marketing degree and trying to figure out if I do want to transfer or not. What am I going to study? Am I going to, my last year, am I just going to hang out, try to just do something? But talking to my athletic advisor, actually, I had a surprisingly a minor that I was basically done with in sports communication. So that was one of the things that I kind of just stumbled upon and really just ended up doing that at trying to finish that up at Chattanooga. But more of my football journey, wasn't really highly recruited coming out of high school. Very underrated type of guy. Came to Marist, didn't get to play my first year really. And then my sophomore year was a huge turnaround. Played all 11 games, actually started one. Then COVID happened. Then you know how that affected the college world hugely. Then first year back, became an All-American. Then my last year at Marist ended up actually being the highest graded safety in the country on all levels, FCS, FBS, D2, D3. So big, huge achievement for me, because I feel like it just put me on a different level in terms of how I compare myself to like all those NFL ready guys. So came down the chat, a little adjusted. I had to get adjusted a little bit, but ultimately found my rhythm. Now we're here.
Very nice. And of course, to the watchers and listeners out there, chime in, leave your comments, questions for Clay throughout the show, and we'll get those answered throughout. Of course, I hate doing this because we all try to forget about 2020 and COVID. As a college athlete and especially in football, where it's a lot of contact, did that affect you any during those times where, of course, everything was limited? And of course, was that hurdle for you in a way to kind of adapt to a new society during those months in 2020?
Definitely different, just in the sense of a lot of college athletes for so many years. You're so used to, like, your body starts getting ready towards the end of that summer for, going into camp, things like that. Then once the season actually hit, and because unfortunately, Marist, we opted out of that season. So not actually playing felt very weird, just in the sense of being – just, not playing, not really practicing in like full pads and stuff like that. It was definitely a huge adjustment I had to get used to, just because my body's so ready for football season.
Well, of course.
Yeah, definitely. And it was just a huge adjustment mentally and physically, because my mind and my body's ready to play, but we're actually not playing. So it kind of, changed it up a little bit. And I felt like it actually got me in the right mindset of, I got to take this serious, because you never know when your last season might ever be.
Yep. Well, and that's a great mindset, because, a lot of things, my playing days are long, definitely long gone, but I don't know if I could deal another one, but, and that's a true fact, because you just don't know when, when your last time playing and how it can affect and so on and so forth. And when that time came back, when you guys were able to practice and so on and so forth, was there any adjustments you had to remake, or was everything kind of back to normal, just with different kind of set of protocols during the first few months or so.
I feel like it's still definitely different because it's been, you really don't, especially on the defensive side, you don't really think about it so much because, yes, you practice it on your own, right. But at the same time, actually tackling someone after, I'd say, a year and some change, like, it's definitely a lot different because a lot of people are definitely a little more hesitant.
Right.
Because it's been so long than what you're used to. And really just getting back in that groove. I mean, it took a little bit, honestly, it took the team a little bit of time to get back in that groove of like hitting people and things like that. But it wasn't nothing too crazy.
Now, I will say, I can see that you're one of those hyped up safeties. And were you ready to hit somebody's helmet pads, make some pad noise out?
Definitely. And it's actually surprising when you actually do get a good hit on offense, a guy that hasn't been tackled in so long. So like it still brings that joy back because once you get that first one under your belt, you're pretty much fine.
Well, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So really, yeah, that's really just what it was like. Getting used to it, and once you finally get it, you feel like it's like riding a bike. You never forget.
Yep. No, that's I like that, and I like that. And I can see that you're one of those players that come off the ball and you're ready to hit somebody, and I like that. And of course, from Marist to UT Chattanooga, what was the process like when it was going through the transfer portal and transferring to eventually UT Chattanooga? What was it like? And did it kind of prepare you, obviously, for the pro days and with the scouts? And as we talk more into that here in a few momentarily, but did it kind of prep you ready for that? Or what was the process like during that transfer portal?
Definitely getting hopping in the transfer portal. I'm sorry. It definitely was a different experience for me just because I was a highly recruited.
Right.
And now me actually making a name for myself, becoming an All-American, one of the highest graded safeties in the country, you're getting a lot more attention on you in terms of like on Twitter, you're getting a lot more followers. I'm talking to coaches constantly, and especially with the speed of it, like I definitely enjoyed it. I was talking to coaches I was texting coaches like all day.
Wow.
It was getting to a point where it was a little hard to keep up of who's who because you were getting like new text messages every hour.
That's insane.
Yeah. So I sometimes had to like go back in our text message just to double check to see who it is. On the phone constantly. Even though it was a lot going on, it definitely was a great experience. One of the reasons I chose Chattanooga was for me, honestly, I wanted, because the thing with scouts was coming out of Marist was the competition level for me. And they said, yes, you could play, but how do you compare about with those guys that are NFL ready? And that definitely stuck with me in the back of my mind when I was in the transfer portal. So me and my family kind of made a criteria list a little bit in terms of like the team, more of a sense of like the quality of football we're playing, really, because we want to get in those higher standards of playing football in terms of guys that are getting NFL looks. And so Chattanooga was a perfect fit for me, especially their defense that they had fit my play style tremendously. Then actually getting there and practicing and stuff like that, off the rip, you could tell that it's not Marist anymore. Just in terms of the speed of the guys, the quality that you're seeing all around the ball. A lot of those guys that you guys did see during the year, like I promise you're going to see on Sunday one day. Because they're that good, and especially at practice, when we're pushing each other, going at it, especially those hot Tennessee days where tensions are high. You really do see the best of the best come out.
During that process, and even and not just during that process, but throughout your whole journey of football, how has your family impacted you during that? And who has been your biggest cheerleaders throughout your whole journey? Even not just so much through your transfer portal process, but really your journey and your biggest cheerleader.
My family definitely played a huge part in it. A lot of the times, you've seen it more towards like the back end part of my career at Marist, just to start that. My family were at almost every game supporting me. For me, like, it just made me a little more comfortable because I know I have people there. I'm not necessarily on my own.
Right.
I felt like that helped me just give me a little sigh of relief. And once I got in the portal coming down to Chattanooga, it was a bigger distance from there than it was to Marist. It's going from New Jersey to New York is nothing. Anyone up north knows that's a routine trip. But coming from New Jersey to Tennessee, that's something that's not that easy. It's a big culture difference down there. And still making the effort to come to all my games definitely had a huge impact on me just by being there, showed their support. In terms of my biggest cheerleader, it's kind of a tie, honestly, between my mom and my dad. My mom loves the experience of just going to different places,
right.
Football as a whole, seeing the success that I had. And my father, just on the other hand, a more of an athlete's perspective, because unfortunately he didn't have a chance to play college ball because of injury.
Mm-hmm.
And him seeing the steps that I made just made him like, just loved the whole process as a whole, because unfortunately, like I said, he didn't have a chance to go through it, but this just made him so excited, especially now with pro days, me talking to different scouts, my name starting to get out there with a little more buzz recently. He's just excited for everything and hope that he can see me play on Sundays.
No, I respect that. I love that because regardless of whatever outcome, family's always by your side. And I love hearing stories like that just because it shows, through whatever it might be, literally that family's got your back. And I can just imagine, seeing your dad and even your mom, both your parents, literally smiling and, the excitement now going through the process of pro days and leading up to the NFL draft and so on and so forth, that the excitement is definitely in the air. And in which, first off, congrats on getting the invite of the Giants Pro Day. And now we're into the NFL. And what is the process even like, just literally from your final snap at UT Chattanooga and leading through now, as of April the 3rd, what has it been processed like now with taking those next steps into the National Football League and scouts? Are they, do they call, kind of interview you? What's the process like? Because you're now my first to ever kind of go through this process. I'm kind of curious.
This process is a little different than what I'm used to. It's a little different from college recruiting. I mean, it still has its similarities, but
right.
At the same time, it's a little more on a professional level, just in terms of, still trying to find out who you are as a person. Big thing with, especially my position, you've seen a lot on my film that I'm very versatile in terms of positions that I play. I play free, strong, nickel. I can even play corner if you need me to.
Nice.
And a lot of teams are kind of, I have such a variety of film that people are trying to figure out what position that I play. And I tell them all the time that I can play whatever you need me to. And I feel like a lot of people can say that they're versatile, but when you actually look at it, I'm very comfortable in any position that I play, because I feel like a lot of my strengths are especially me having the ability to build chemistry with my teammates and things like that, especially situational awareness in terms of understanding what teams like to do and stuff like that. And especially, I feel like I have an unorthodox play style. It's very deceptive in terms of like my speed, in terms of I might start off walking one way, but then I'm in a full on sprint the next second.
Right.
So I feel like that helps me play a lot of a variety of positions. So, yeah, I think that definitely is playing a factor in terms of trying to, some teams trying to figure out where they can plug me in at.
Growing up, was there a certain player that you admired their play when it came to your position, or just really just in football in general? Was that one player that you, maybe even if it's just not admired from your position play, just overall, was there any favorite players growing up that you, you know, looked after or kind of mimicked, so to speak?
Definitely. So the way when I was being brought up into football, my dad was a very early 2000s, 90s type of guy.
Very nice.
So coming up, if I was going to play defense, we're here to play. I like Brian Dawkins.
Yes.
Troy Polamalu, Ed Reed, Ronnie Lott, all those guys, because those guys demanded dominance on the defensive side of the ball. And when you watch some of the film, that you can see a lot of similarities instead of like my physicality with Brian Dawkins and Ronnie Lott, those guys. Then in terms of coverage, you see the range that I can have, a lot of the playmaking skills that you see with like Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu, and starting one place and ending up in a completely different one. So I feel like that's the main guys I kind of modeled my game after.
Those are some good players that definitely, you know, you can go after, because phenomenal players, and through, you know, I'm trying to figure out how to ask. During this, I guess, leading up to draft day, when you have your draft party, whatever that may look like for you, who's going to be at your house, and what's your celebration plans are going to be after you get selected?
Definitely on my friends and family, because my family, like I said before, is a huge part. Then at the same time, my friends also played a huge part just in terms of keeping me level-headed throughout all of this. Because even though unfortunately some of them aren't able to make it as far as me,
right,
they still play a huge role in terms of keeping me concentrated. And we like to, something me and my boys like to say, we call it stay the course. Nice. No matter how hard it gets, sometimes you just got to stay down and just keep going with it. And eventually it's going to show up.
Yeah, because, I mean, again, you know, you can go through so much hurdles and, you know, kind of bumps in the road and so on and so forth, to the point that, you know, staying the course is the, once you stay the course and kind of keep going through the motions, that the reward is bigger in the end. And, you know, I can see that driven in you, and which leads to, you know, the food part. I got to ask you this, Clay, on the food part and draft night, are you going to be cooking some good food, or are you going to?
All right, so with that, I'm definitely gonna let my mom take over, because that's definitely her thing.
Yes, sir.
She's been cooking for us. She's been making, like, that's another one of the inspirations in terms of like why I like to cook, is because of her. Because she is actually, well, she took it too far now, but she goes on TikTok and tries all these new things, and And sometimes I come downstairs like, what are you even making? And it comes out to be really good. So she's definitely let her do her thing. Not going to interrupt her. But in terms of what I'm going to have there, I feel like definitely there's not going to be a common thing, I'll be honest.
Right.
Because I'm also, some people that don't know, I'm also Puerto Rican as well. And she's fully Puerto Rican. So she's going to have some Spanish dishes there.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely chicken parm. That's a non-negotiable. That's definitely going to be there. Her famous mac and cheese, rice, chicken. We'll probably have, like I said, it's going to be a variety that she, it's one of those things that she knows what to make. And it's probably maybe at least 20 different dishes.
Wow.
And she's definitely one of those people that, like, you're not, she's not going to just make a little bit of one thing just because she's making a variety.
Right.
And she's going to make sure that it's going to be hard for you to make it home in terms of falling asleep. So.
So what you're saying, Clay, is party at your house?
Hey, we're going to see, man. We're going to see.
Everyone that's listening and watching, please, yeah, that's just a joke. Please don't show up on his doorstep. you're not invited. That's gonna get a little weird. I promise.
I mean, hey, if you guys show up, don't worry about it. You guys can come on in. You guys are just as much a family as everyone else. So, come on and grab you a plate.
Grab him. just slowly walk out after. No, I like that. A buddy of mine, he hosts a podcast called Defining Moments Podcast, and his name is Mr. Wong Lam. Shout out to him. And throughout your early life so far and into this football journey and moving forward with your career, what was your one defining moment that made that break that you were looking for?
So actually, it was kind of recent. My last year at Marist, I felt like definitely gave me that extra like wow moment of that I could definitely do this. We were playing down in Stetson University down in Deland, Florida. It was a tie game coming towards the end of the fourth quarter. Everyone knows Florida, hot, humid, doesn't make any sense. Really just... Yeah. It's been a long day, hot. No one feels like tackling in that heat. You think you have flashbacks of camp,
yep,
all over again. People's cramping, whole bunch of stuff. So actually, towards I want to say it's the last 2 minutes of the game, 2.5 minutes of the game. We got a stop. That turned into a 90-yard punt return touchdown that I've been trying to get all day because it's one of those things that has been there, but you just haven't got that little extra step that if you would have had, you would have gotten it. Then about, I'm going to say 30 to 45 seconds later, 75-yard pick six.
Oh, nice.
To put us up 14 in the final minute of the game. So I think that definitely like a wow moment.
Right.
And definitely for my teammates as well, just because like for them, like they look at me to make plays, especially things like that. But I feel like I surprised myself just in a way of, wow, I really took over this game in a matter of a minute and a half and really changed the outcome when some people might even only had one of those two touchdowns. And how rare it is to actually get a punt return touchdown and a pick six in the same game definitely showed me that I think I'm ready for the next level.
Well, and, you know, obviously I wasn't, didn't make it that far, and I'm perfectly fine with that. And, you know, it's God's will, but, you know, obviously I wouldn't consider myself a scout by any means, but I love the game of football, and that's always going to be one of, you know, it's the sport that I love regardless. And you know how good or bad the Oklahoma City Thunder are doing downtown or whatnot, but it's always gonna be football. But you know, I can see just even the conversation we're having that, you know, the passion's there, but the fact that, like, you know, like, hey, dude, you know, I'm gonna go out there and grind with the best of the best, and I'm gonna show out and do what I need to do to make plays, but at the same time be a team player and but at the same, you know, and I get the vibe that, hey, I'm still Clay Fields, you know, and I'm always gonna be Clay, and you don't got the big head, so to speak. It's you're humble and you're gonna go out there and grind with the rest of the man on the field, and I respect that for you.
Definitely 100% agree with you. For me, it's more of I didn't make it there yet, so we had to keep grinding. No matter what the success looks like, we're gonna get there one day. Whether that means I start on just making the practice squad, that's still an achievement to me. Because at the end of the day, it's still a process that you gotta go through. And even if to make it to playing on Sundays, that you gotta earn your keep on the practice squad, then eventually making it onto the 53-man roster, I'm willing to do that. My family is a huge on hard work.
Yep.
And they don't expect anything less but working hard. So, like, no matter hard work I actually put in compared to other people, I feel like that, yes, I have the confidence to know I can play, but at the same time, we have to stay humble, because if you get too arrogant or cocky, that you're going to lose yourself. And by staying humble and not forgetting, because I think a lot of people forget about the other people in their life that, yes, it might not be in a huge impact, but they do help you get there no matter what that looks like. So I feel like that's a huge thing for me that I emphasize, that I take all the relationships that I do develop over this time. I do pay attention and care about it. And a lot of my friends definitely know that I'm one of those people that if you need help, I'm always going to be there, no matter if I make it to the NFL or not. So yeah, that's just a huge thing for me.
Well, absolutely, and I always live by it, and you know, I always tell my kiddos that, especially my oldest, if anything, is the fact that, because he's his teenagers now, but is the fact that, you know, you always don't forget where you started from, don't forget where you came from, is what they always say, but don't always forget where you started from, because a lot of times, and I know a few people personally, I'm not going to call them out on it, but, and we've all been there, done that to an extent, I'm sure, but a lot of times we misinterpret, whether it's a job title, whether it's a sports position or a coaching position or whatever the case might be, we always forget we got that title. Now we always forget where we started from, because, you know, and I always say, look back and say, just remember where you started from and where you came from, because, you know, at the starting point, the more your true people that were there by your side then are the ones still by. And I got nothing but, you know, praise for you on that, because you're a humble dude, and family's a big thing. And I think when you got those two in coherent, you the sky's the limit. And that goes for anything, whether it's sports or not sports. It's sky's the limit on that one.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with you. Like you said, you can't forget where you started from. For me, working out, I've been actually working out with the same trainer since my sophomore year of high school.
Wow.
And he's definitely been a big impact on me. I'd probably say he's the biggest impact on me in terms of the way I play on the field, just because he's taught me a lot of the stuff that I know now, in terms of like my technique, understanding the game as a whole. His name is Joe Porter. He's just a huge impact on me, especially during COVID, when a lot of guys were just sitting around, not doing much. We were outside working 2-3 times a day. And Like, that's another person that just had a huge impact on me. Never gave up on me, because starting out, I was actually a very undersized corner. Mm-hmm. About, let's say, 5'6", maybe 140 pounds playing. Then as I'm getting older, more weight on, he you said, he literally saw me from where I started to where I am now. And that's also one of my biggest supporters, just because that he's seen where we started and he knows my story, just in terms of not being highly recruited, but just staying down and just keep working. Because at the end of the day, no one can take hard work from you. Yep. And just keep, if we keep working, one day, it doesn't, we don't need every scout in the world to like us. We just need one guy.
Right.
So that's why, like I said earlier, we take every relationship that we build with scouts, coaches, we take it serious in terms of trying to build a family aspect and building that trust and with me and the scouts and the coaches, trying to build that trust factor just so that they understand how serious and that I'm willing to do anything for them and the organization to try to bring their team a Super Bowl.
Yes, sir. And I'm sure you get asked this a lot, and I respect the answer, because I know at this point, I'm sure it's any team that gives you that call. Is there a team that you grew up watching that was your favorite team? One. And then two, is there one team? I ain't going to do that today. That's messed up. Now, what was your favorite team growing up? But, well, I don't put them on the spot like that. What was your favorite team growing up?
Oh, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. I'm a diehard Dallas Cowboys.
So what you're saying is Jerry Jones better be calling you then?
Hey, Jerry. If you want to come get me, I got my bags ready. But seriously, though, I'm willing to go to any team that's willing to pick me up. And even though I am a Cowboys fan, that you're getting everything out of me and nothing holding back.
No, I ain't going to do that to you. I don't think I have anybody that's listening from the NFL. I don't know. Maybe I do. Who knows? That'd be kind of cold-hearted. No, I ain't going to do that. But no, because, I mean, I would imagine just from your aspect, even though I ain't going to say the team, but I'm sure there's certain few teams in that NFC East that, even though growing up, you know, will be tough, but at the end of the day, you're fulfilling your dreams. I'm sure it's worth it in the end. But have you ever been to Colorado by chance?
No, I haven't had a chance to come out there.
No, Colorado. No, I know wherever you end up, I'm a Denver Bronco fan, so you know, you get there, I'll buy your jersey. I promise you that one. But no, dude, jokes aside, no, I know that you're, wherever you go, you're gonna be success, because of the fact that you're gonna bring the A game and your best of the best, literally, no pun intended, on the field. And so, you know, you're just molding yourself to be somebody great, and I can see that. And you got that drive going.
Definitely 100%. I'm ready to take on any challenges. I think definitely being from Jersey, that we have this thing where we're not scared of anybody. A lot of people heard the March Madness run from St. Mm-hmm. Peter's. A bunch of New York and New Jersey guys, we're not scared of no one. We want to take on anybody, regardless of the name, statue. At the end of the day, we're going to work just like you guys. So we're ready to prove ourselves every day.
I will say this. Is there, you know, this is just kind of curiosity. Do you prefer warmer weather or colder weather when you play football?
Now, I
remember playing one time in the cold. It was really cold. Hitting that ground was not fun. Was it worth it? Yeah. It is not fun by any means.
Okay, so so now me actually playing in Tennessee and New York, man. So definitely do prefer warmer. I can't lie to you, man.
I'm not disagreeing on that one bit.
Because definitely being out in Tennessee, I think it might have snowed one time. And within the year and some change, I've been down there. And like it being warm all the time, definitely different. But at the same time, I'm not too big of a fan of the heat either. Mm-mm. Just because I have this thing where you can always warm up, but it's hard to cool down sometimes.
Yep.
So to me, I definitely would prefer, say I like the warmer weather. Just definitely coming down to November, December, that makes a big difference. Yes, going from the snow to playing in 60 degrees is a big difference. But definitely, yeah, I think I would probably say I like the warmer weather a little better, just for in terms of longevity and things like that.
No, I'm 100% with you, because for all you listeners and the ones that former players, I'm sure you guys know, getting hit in the cold, I don't care if it's 32 or 22 or 12 or 42, it's a different feel compared to 60s, 70s, and 80s, and well, definitely above that. But I know some people prefer a certain kind of weather compared to others. But music wise, what's your kind of music you like? You like to warm up to during warm ups and practice to?
I like to listen to a variety of music. It's actually funny you said that, because my friends kind of make fun of me a little bit, because if you go on my phone and just hit shuffle, you're gonna get so many different variety of music,
right,
that it actually doesn't make any sense. That you might go from, let's say, hip hop to R&B. You might even find a country song in there. Who knows what's in my phone? To Hispanic music. A whole bunch of music that I've collected over the years, just from, you know, just having an open mind, trying mm-hmm. different things out. And like so many, like I think that also helps me in terms of like me being able to talk with different people, just because that I'm able to fit in with a variety of groups, and even just having that open personality that people like, that I am able to do that. So, but pregame,
yeah, probably, you doing some probably, TikTok dances during pregame?
Nah, I'm not doing. I'm not dancing. Nah. Some of my boys on my team try to get on me because I'm from Jersey, and sometimes we like to dance, and they try to get me to do it. But nah, I'm not too big of a dancer. I might go to some. I probably won't start to warm up with hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
Then closer, as we sit in the locker room, waiting, I like to slow it down sometimes, listen to a little bit of R&B music.
Right.
Then once we're getting ready to go back out, turn it back up to hip hop, just to, you know, get me back in that mood and get me back into a ready to play type of situation.
I like that. Kind of get back amped up. Marist and UT Chattanooga, I'll give you both universities. What was your best road trip atmosphere, environment when you were at Marist and then back to Chattanooga?
Okay, so I'm going to split that into two.
Okay.
Right? My best road trip that I liked. So Marist's schedule isn't typically like your normal FCS schedule. We're actually very countrywide. We have a countrywide schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So my first time actually going to San Diego and playing, seeing like the zoo and stuff like that, definitely was an experience. But in terms of atmosphere I had played in, definitely this past year playing at Alabama.
Oh, I can imagine.
That's every kid's dream. And it's actually a funny thing, because that was my first game ever playing nickel. And nice. The way my coaches kind of sprung it on me was like real quick, like, oh, Clay, you're at nickel this week.
Right.
That's it. And I was kind of confused, because I hadn't taken many reps at nickel before, but then they just threw me in the fire and actually had a great game. And just in terms of like just competing with those guys and just showing those guys that I can play at that next level, especially with those guys that are first, second round draft picks,
mm-hmm.
Being able to play with them just showed scouts that that I can play with those guys, and yeah, I'm ready. So those guys, that atmosphere is actually pretty insane.
Cause is it?
It's kind of, it's hard to explain. Their stadium is kind of like a, let's say, I want to say, I guess a more like a bottle shape type of thing where it just goes straight up, like a sphere type thing. And no matter what you, like, everything echoes.
Interesting. And
so once, like, someone makes a play, the way that the sound might go from dead silent to, like, so loud is, like, definitely an experience. And, like, music playing in there, everyone's excited. Some, it's like, it was a dream of mine to always play Alabama,
and that's what's up. Yeah,
finally got to play them, and just that experience was just great for me. And playing in that atmosphere, definitely some things that you see on Sundays. So
I knew Herman Raj is a good buddy of mine. They host, they're big Alabama fans, and they host their pod, and I'm sure that, you know, hopefully they're watching, at least listening in the future. But was it over, not to try and give them a big head about it, was it overwhelming, or was it more intimidating, or was it just more of a thrill, a vibe, and adrenaline playing in that, in that massive stadium?
Honestly, it was just a mixture of anything, because, like, your adrenaline's pumping because it's the game, but then at the, because we're going to be honest, it's still Alabama at that.
Right, exactly.
So a little bit, I wouldn't say I was intimidated, but for me, like I said, I'm not scared of anybody, like, playing. So, like, it was just a mixture of mixed emotions, but then me being the old vet that I am in the, on the college level,
right,
like, able to get my emotions together and just ready to play. So definitely probably one of the best experiences in terms of, like, a stadium and, like, this overall game for me in my college career.
Looking forward, how has your life changed now with anything different from a normal lifestyle now as you get prepped up with the scouts and all the pro days and workouts and so on and so forth? Or has it kind of been the same, but just kind of a few adjustments throughout this process now with the National Football League?
It's a little bit of a mixture of both, because personally, to be honest, now me being in the spotlight is a little different. Typically, I'm a shy person. I don't really look for too much attention. But now you kind of want the attention, especially coming to the draft, just because, especially being a small school guy, that you need as much eyes on you as possible. Mm-hmm. So doing interviews and things like that, like, it's definitely out of my comfort zone. But with that being said, like, getting used to it. But otherwise, in terms of, like, training and stuff like that, like, this is the same stuff I've been doing for years.
Nice.
Like, for example, we do 2-3 a days along with going to work. Like, nothing has changed for me, honestly. I feel like me being prepared for and doing that for so long, making that transition to becoming a professional, I definitely think that I wouldn't say it's on the easier side, but I've been doing it for so long that it's nothing new to me.
That's what's up. I was kind of curious just because, obviously, I'm sure more workouts and more phone calls, etc., but wasn't for sure exactly how adjusted. I ain't going to ask, you know, too many questions into it, 'cause I'm sure some of it, you know, needs to be on the DL, but the fact that, you know, I'm sure, you know, it's a whole commodity. Like you said, a lot of interviews, a lot of people, all eyes now. And now the closer that we get, what we're, what, 3 weeks, I believe, out from the draft. So as we wind down the show, what is, let's just say, I don't know, I'm just going to play devil's advocate. I know it's 100% probably not true, but let's just play devil's advocate and play that some of the coaches, doesn't matter, head coaches, DCs, scouts, so on and so forth, was watching the show right now. What would your answer be when I say who is Clay Fields?
Really, that's a great question. Honestly, who I am as a person and a football player is the exact same thing. On and off the field, you're getting a hardworking person that's caring, willing to help others. And you see that transition into my game because I feel like as I got older, working with trying to being so versatile, playing to other DB strengths in terms of like building chemistry and stuff like that, like has helped me a lot. It helped me be able to play with different types, like for example, playing with different types of corners, different types of safeties, like seeing all those different pictures and playing as one instead of playing as individuals, like it just makes the overall defense better. And I feel like this as a whole, you're getting the person that you're getting is the same on and off the field, like I said before. And I'm a hardworking, I care a lot about my craft. I might not be a perfectionist yet, but I'm striving to get there and doing the best I can. You're getting a very coachable person. Even if you talk to teammates and things like that, you're definitely getting a leader. Honestly, I'm not one of those guys that's going to make all the speeches, scream in front, yell at everyone, because that's just not who I am as a person. Right. And I like to pull you to the side and almost coach you up in a sense that a lot of people don't take getting yelled at as good as others. But I just feel like trying to solve a situation before, like even if it's during the game, trying to figure out what adjustments we can make. Us doing that on our own makes a defensive coordinator's life a lot easier. And that's what type of leader you're getting. And just in trying to develop my young guys at Chad or back at Marist, like you're getting a guy that's a leader that doesn't always care about, you know, taking the credit for it. But I'd rather see a lot of people succeed than just being selfish. So that's what type of person you're getting coming into your organization.
I like that. That speaks volumes, especially on and off the field as a leader and you know, someone that's willing to help develop the young ones in this aspect, rookies and so on and so forth. And even going back, you know, like you said, to Marist and to Chattanooga to, you know, help the young guys, the young bucks out and develop and mentor them in a way. And I respect that. And final few questions and nothing, you know, too major and too difficult, but obviously the National Football League is a worldwide phenomenon at this point, and they're getting a lot of overseas games. Is there one location that they are either currently playing in, whether it's London or Mexico or Germany? I think Brazil now is in the mix now, or if now they are, or whatever. Out of states, out of country experience, what's one country either the NFL is currently playing in or futurized that you would love to play in experience?
I think it's actually a tie now because I didn't know about the Brazil one.
I want to say it's 25, I believe, is when the NFL in Brazil. I know there it is. Let's see real quick. Okay, real quick, Brazil to host the first ever NFL regular season. Okay, so in South America. Okay, so it is this year, 2024, and I'm trying to see if by chance if they happen to have teams yet or not. Real quick, I don't see. Somebody said Eagles. I don't know about that one. NFL announces Eagles. Okay. Eagles as designated team for Brazil games. So The NFL is going to Brazil this year, no date, but that's pretty cool. Okay. Brazil is on the list as well. Any experiences maybe Brazil caught your mind now?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It's probably between Brazil or Germany, honestly, because nice. I kind of got this weird thing of playing in places that not too many people actually played in, and I kind of take pride in that. Actually, at Barons, we played in Minnesota one time, and people thought I was so weird because I was so excited. But in my mind, it's like, how many people do you know actually say, like, I played in Minnesota? And I felt like it's just, I don't know, it's just, I like odd things like that sometimes, like playing in Germany, playing in Brazil. Like, and hey, even if the NFL wants to go to Japan, we can play there. Like,
oh, that'd be what's up.
Yeah, so I'm willing to go anywhere. So wherever you guys want to go, I'll gladly come with you.
Hey, I'm waiting for the NFL to go to Australia. I think that'd be kind of cool.
That definitely would be cool.
I think that'd be kind of cool. Final question. I'll end it on this one. Is the Herman Raj does this questions of death. I think it's three of them, but I'll keep it short. Once it's all said and done in your career in the National Football League, what do you see yourself doing following your playing days?
I feel like this is where the versatility comes in. Mm-hmm. I feel like I got a couple things planned out. Definitely want to go back to coaching.
Nice.
Probably I wouldn't try to get on the division one level, but the college level in terms of developing guys and trying to have a competition with myself to see how many guys I could try to put in the league myself. Between that, definitely some type of thing in business, just in terms of like owning rental properties and things like that. Maybe owning a restaurant one day. Maybe doing like marketing for college teams, because nowadays all those hype videos and things like that, I feel like can definitely, that plays a part in like recruiting and things like that. So stuff like that, or I feel like that's main ones at this moment I can think of off the top of my head without really thinking too much. But yeah, that's probably one of the main things I probably want to do once I get out. As soon as I'm done with the NFL.
Absolutely. And last one, with your college days being over, regarding playing, the direction that the college football realm is changing, the landscape has just absolutely changed in the last really 2 years, but probably within the last four. Do you like, just from a fan standpoint, I'll just put it that way, from a fan standpoint and from a former college player, but still college athlete, do you like where the game is headed, or is there still some a little concern from a college football player standpoint, or is the college game kind of in good hands and moving in the right direction?
I think honestly it's a mixture of both. Once the big thing with the transfer portal came, I feel like it's it's a little bit of both, just in terms of on the bad sides, a lot of people are quick to pull the trigger on trying to leave a place.
Right.
Just because it's not what they thought it was at first, instead of sometimes sitting there developing at a school. But I feel like on the other hand, some people do need that new place just for them, because sometimes, making that type of huge decision as a high school guy, sometimes you might make the wrong decision, and that's very understandable. So I just feel like it's like a mixture of both. With the transfer portal, in terms of the game itself, I feel like it's definitely in the right hands. I think just the only thing that's changing is that it's getting more, directed more at the players now, that we are I guess you would say you're preparing them to become more professionals in terms of like NIL and things like that. So I feel like that in terms of that direction is definitely going up. So yeah.
I like that answer. I definitely agree on the transfer portal. And I think it's, you know, I think we all can agree to disagree, I'm sure, on some topics. And it's a thing that I don't think is ever going to change because we're continuously seeing college football is going to change, expansions and playoff expansions and so on and so forth. But Clay, dude, it was an honor just getting to know you as a person and to hear your story, but at the same time, hear your journey from Marist to UT Chattanooga now headed into the NFL, dude. I truly enjoyed it and definitely an inspiration to me.
Of course, and I appreciate you having me here on the show. It was an honor.
Absolutely, and where can the listeners find you at on your socials as we wrap up?
If you want to follow me on Instagram, my username is Clay, CLAY.2P on Instagram, or you can follow me on Twitter at Clay Fields with the Roman numeral 3 at the end. Yeah, if you want to follow me, get on Twitter too.
Guys, give him a follow. He's got a bright future ahead. I assure that. Clay, best of luck to you for the remainder of the process and of pro days and training with the NFL and leading up to the NFL draft, my man.
Yeah, I appreciate you again having me on the show. If you ever want me to come back on the show,
most definitely.
And I gladly come back with my experiences and anything, man. If you want me to come back, even just to talk Oklahoma football.
Hey, we're going to talk that. Yes, sir.
Right. Yeah, no. We can talk whenever, man. Just all you have to do is just text me, man. I'll gladly come back on here.
Hey, absolutely. And like I said, you know, I'm a Broncos guy. I know, you know, hey, regardless, dude, I'm going to get your jersey regardless. I promise you that.
Of course. And just text me and let me know. I'll gladly send it to you.
Hey, we'll do. You guys, Clay Fields, the wonderful All-American safety from UT Chattanooga, NFL prospect, hopefully soon Denver Bronco. And nonetheless, a good dude. Clay, best of luck to you, and we'll be talking to you soon, my man.
All right, thank you.
You've been listening to the Air Attack Podcast. Find us on all major podcast platforms and on the Off the Ball Network. Take care, guys. Have a wonderful weekend. Be safe.
You've been listening to the Air Raid Attack Podcast. Sports, life stories, general topics, but mainly football. Can you blame us? Thanks for listening to the show. We hope you had as much fun as we did. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hit us up on Twitter at Air Raid Podcast and on YouTube and Facebook at Air Raid Attack Podcast. See you next time at your home of the unfiltered, unscripted, 100% authentic Air Raid Attack Podcast.
Let's go!
Let's go!
Go! Go!